Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, my privilege to serve as host of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Paige Tyler, elder and minister extraordinaire, as well as the embodiment of the 12-step ministry for Christians. Brother Tyler joins me for the preponderance of the hour, but on the other end of what the prophet Isaiah has to say. We draw upon Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations I cannot endure. Iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The prophet Isaiah, please, speaking to an ancient people in an ancient time, in an ancient land. But the word he speaks resonates with a contemporary people, a people living in the day and age of our own. It speaks to us. And the language that Isaiah says, and I quote, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken is a very eloquent way of saying, in essence, pay attention, for God is speaking. The Word of God speaks to us today with the same clarity and with the same potency and with the same urgency that it spoke in the days of Isaiah. Pay attention, for the Lord God is speaking to us now. And we can never minimize, we can never trivialize the fact that the Word of God is spoken and is cast throughout all of time. Heaven and earth, the Bible tells us, will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. The flowers of the field wither and the grass wilts, but the Word of God stands forever. And I love how God speaks through Isaiah later in the text, the 55th chapter. We read that God issues forth his word, and it will not return to him empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. And the word has been delivered to us, on the one hand, unto our salvation, that we would choose life, and through the blessing of Christ and him crucified, appropriate that life to ourselves. Or, frankly and conversely, that we would choose death, because we would choose to remain in our more sin-suffused, sin-infested condition. The Word of God holds forth that choice to us, and it speaks frankly and bluntly of the circumstances of our lives and of the world in which we live. It says of Judah in the ancient times that it was a nation that was sinful. It contained a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, even children who deal corruptly. And I would bring to your attention with great sadness, I wish it were otherwise, but so many of our children today, having been divorced from the knowledge of God, have comparably been raised up with a spirit of entitlement and lack of respect. It's very, very pronounced. And the word that spoke to the ancient people of Judah is a word that speaks to us in the here and now. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. And if you take a look at the culture at large, we are increasingly estranged, not only as a race of human beings, from Almighty God, and disparate in our lifestyles from what his word has to say. But we are increasingly estranged from one another. Whatever the advances that had been made betwixt the races, dating back to the 60s and the movement that was memorialized by Martin Luther King, we have borne witness to some degree of a loss of that connectedness. Also between men and women, also, please, between the generations. Estrangement or fracture in relationship besets us. And no amount of external religiosity can make a difference. Indeed, the text of Scripture here tells us that the affliction runs deep and is pervasive. We read, please, in the 6th verse, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness. In the preceding 5th verse, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. We need in this day and age a full scale, nothing less than revival, a revival that will bring God's people to their knees in repentance, and a revival that will spread through the people of God, making known to others the love of Christ. God speaking through this text, God speaking through the prophet. In the 18th verse, we come to the crux. God says to us, and these are precious words, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Let us, God says, reason together. When Brother Tyler and I begin to address step 2 of the 12-step program, we will read that God would bring us back to sanity. You see, sin is at its root and by very definition, irrational, by virtue of the fact that it breaks ranks with God's established order. It is knocked out of reason. It lacks proportion and order, and it is downright devastating. And God would pull us back from the abyss of our sin. He would pull us back and invite us to give thought, and he would come amongst us in counsel. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. We have been blanketed by about 12 inches of snow over the past few days here in Philadelphia. But the word of God declares that courtesy of the shed blood of Jesus, our lives will be washed so clean that we will be lily white, holy in God's sight, precious and beloved. And God would reason with us still. Come now, let us reason together. Come now, come back to me. Come now and know the joy of my salvation. This is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brad Lacey with the great message. Brother Paige Tyler joins us in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, to my mind, the embodiment of the 12 steps of the recovery group for Christians, indeed for anyone. Brother, welcome back to our broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley. It's really great to be here once again.
Well, it's a joy to have you. You're a pro, brother. You're a natural. And I know that you are steeped in the wisdom of Scripture as you help take us through these 12 steps. Brother, we're in the month of February, which means we are looking at step two. I think, yep. However, you did express an interest in giving us a quick review of the first step.
Right. Now, I'm going to mention step two is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, we can't quite jump right into that step without talking first a little bit about step one, is that we admitted we were powerless over the effects of our separation from God and that our lives had become unmanageable or insane. So basically, our separation from God is created by our sin. Our sin creates a divide between us and God. You did such a good job in your opening servo of identifying that great divide between us and God, how God sees us and how we behave and react to God. You know, we've utterly, all of us have gone astray. And in step one, what we learned was, is that our the unmanageability of our lives, that's the action of sin on our lives, has caused our lives to become unmanageable. That was just a nice way of saying has caused our lives to become insane.
You know, brother, if I may, can you imagine the difference that would be struck if in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., whether it be the White House, regardless of the occupant, or the Congress building, if our leaders in their deliberations concerning policy would be able to understand how deep-rooted and how pervasive and how fundamental. The problem is not the need for more money. The problem is not that the other side is wrong and we're right. The problem is that we are infested with a condition that by its very nature does not allow us to get onto a straight path.
Exactly. And I, you know, I don't like mixing politics in with Jesus, because I don't believe Jesus believes in any of those lying politicians.
I mention it solely because the political, however noble there may be a political aspiration, it is not the ultimate answer.
Right. And the point, but a very good point you're making, if you look at our behavior, come on, it is insane.
Yes.
We are
it's
one
as
nation.
If the inmates are running the asylum, and I don't mean simply at the I don't mean simply the political overlords, but it seems to have become a reality throughout every strata of society, including our own lives.
what happened to the nation that I grew up in? We were white and black. We were poor and rich. We were urban and we were rural. But we were the United States of America. We were one nation.
I think we've done something utterly stupid. We have forsaken Almighty God and his teachings.
Amen. We diverted, we put down God in the 1960s. We picked up science and politics and religion as a replacement for the Almighty Spirit of God. And we have our results here, 40 or 50 years later.
Well,
the results.
I mean, the fact that we are sharing this discussion concerning the 12 steps is indicative of the result. I mean, we would love to be out of a job, wouldn't we?
Wouldn't we? I would love to. I would love to talk my way right out of it. No one else on this planet ever needed to read, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If everyone was behaving in a sane way, I could take this book and throw it away. Yeah.
But praise God, brother, you having been the recipient in a very powerful way, myself as well, praise God that notwithstanding our insanity and our, as I'm wont to put it, sin-suffused, sin-laden, sin-infested condition, we are still on the receiving end or capable of receiving the mercy and grace of God. He has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. He still holds forth. And as Isaiah put it, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There is a precious word of hope in that beckoning of Almighty God.
Come now, let us reason together and come to believe that a holy God wants better for us than what we have and will restore us to sanity as individuals. I know I needed that for my personal life. As communities, I know the community that I grew up in is ripped apart with confusion. As a culture, as a nation, and as a church, because right now the church is divided as well.
Yes, I sadly concur. I sadly concur. And you still, you know, it troubles me, brother. It troubles me deeply. I still hear various strata of the church. It could be this group or it could be that group, could be another group. But they're still trying to get a leg over, up and against other facets of the Christian body. And I find it very, very troublesome. It speaks more to a religious pride that may be the ultimate act of insanity. If one has come to know the one true God and may claim him as our loving and heavenly Father, that's a very humbling, not pride-inducing reality.
And the only person winning from that duel is Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we are supposed to be one in Christ. We may have our differences in how we execute our Christianity, how we worship, when we worship, but we are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ at all times.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned Satan, and I believe in his existential reality. Satan is the ultimate expression of irrationality and insanity. However, and this is what makes him so dangerous, there is, as was said of Hamlet, method to his madness.
Oh, yes.
And that method is doing great damage. And in our flesh, we wittingly or unwittingly lend ourselves. But thank God that our men like Brother Paige Tyler, who stand ready to assist people who are coming to light.
Yes. And so in coming to believe, is we just all we're asking for a person to do is not to make some great changes right now, Just believe that God wants better for you, that God wants to move us from where we are to a whole new, better place, a greater place, a place that he has in his mind for us that we can't even think of.
We're looking, are we not, at baby steps, but you having raised children, myself having helped raise one of my lovely grandchildren, baby steps are very profound in their very nature. But yeah, we have more to discuss, Brother Paige Tyler and myself, Brad Lacey. We will return on the other end of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, my very dear friend and esteemed partner in the ministry of the gospel, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Paige, you were talking about that initial step that brings us into a framework of belief or of trust, not in ourselves, but in God to help us through and past our problems. You know, just before we came on board here, I was watching a video through the Facebook of a little kitten that was born paralyzed in its back legs, and it would have to drag itself along the floor. And quite candidly, the little poor little thing was going to be put to sleep. But a lady came along and just in the nick of time rescued that poor little creature and nursed and gave therapy. And now that kitten is 6 months old and walking like a pro and is such a sweet creature. Wow. And it just strikes me that God, in the nick of time, the Bible says, Paul tells us in, I believe it's in Galatians, when the time had fully come, that is, at just the right moment, Christ was born of a man, born of a woman as a man, born under the law to redeem those of us under the law. And we who desperately needed a Savior, we were given one. And he will take us through the steps, and he will take us throughout life, and he will lead us along that straight and narrow path in pure, unadulterated love. And you are the walking expression of that.
Right. Well, thank you. So as we proceed down this course of looking at step two, the first thing we need to do is, in order for God to restore us to sanity, we got to let go of all the trappings that we have come in to this step with. Because I have commonly heard that if you had my husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, grandparents, family, job, boss, or whatever, then you would be crazy too. Well, that may have been the cause of your problems in the past, but it's not your cause of your problem today. No matter what someone did to you yesterday, it is not controlling your behavior today. So we have to look squarely at ourselves and be willing to accept who we really are. And we need to let go of our fears, let go of our angers, let go of our resentments, let go of all the things, all the trappings of this world, and cast our burden up on our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can be restored to sanity right here on this earth. You don't have to die in order to get the benefits of the Bible. You can have them right here. The problem is that most of us don't appropriate them while we're still walking around. Or what I've seen a lot is that people don't begin to appropriate them until after they hit 70 or 80 years old, and they're no longer they're looking at the end of their life, and they begin to then seek after the Lord.
Yeah, the problem with that though is that the baggage they've been carrying over a lifetime is that much more difficult to jettison.
Exactly.
You know, I know Billy Graham and his people they found over the decades of the Graham Crusades that for those who came forward at the altar call, 75% of them over decades were 25 years or younger, because as we grow older, we grow, if you will, more hardened in our flesh, and the baggage, we're so accustomed to it, we can't even fathom life without it, no matter how difficult it may be. Or how often, brother, do we hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. But it's not just the way you need to be.
Right. It's the way it's just the way you are, because that's the way you're deciding to be.
Right, right.
And we will be talking about in the next step, after having made this contrition and accepting that I have become insane, that the next thing we want to do is we need to make a decision. But right now, what we need to do is accept our condition. And the Bible says it, Matthew 7:7-12, it says, ask and you will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is Jesus speaking.
Well, yeah, if I may put it this way, as you're sharing from Matthew, about seeking and finding and asking and being answered, knocking and the door being opened. You know, we live in a day and age in which if we have a factual or a technical question, we instinctively turn to the internet and we will find answers. There's an article on almost anything and everything there is in technical and material existence on the internet. Conversely, or in complement, if it comes to an existential query or a spiritual one, we can turn to our loving and heavenly Father. And the Word we are promised in the Word that the Spirit of Almighty God will lead us in the way of all truth. And so we can turn to God. And that is at the heart, as you have taught me, of the 12-step movement.
Exactly.
That we are looking now to God, who is reality with a capital R. And I love it in Psalm 27, O Lord, you have been my helper.
Exactly. And to go back to, I always like to bring a New Testament and an Old Testament reference. It's Second Chronicles, and we've all heard this one for so many times, Chronicles 7, beginning in 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. So here God is reiterating once again that this is not talking to the sinner. This is not talking to the senator or the congressman or those other people that we so readily criticize. This is speaking directly to us, we Christians. This was written to Christians. What Christ was speaking to was to his disciples, and what this Chronicles was written to the Hebrews. And this is speaking directly to the people of God. We should not be looking outside of ourselves and looking for everybody else to get right so that our world will get right around us. We need to be looking inside ourselves and looking to seek God inside of ourselves, to humble ourselves before God, to seek his face, and to begin to turn from my wicked ways. And I put that on myself, because guess what? I got some wicked ways. And God's got to remind, and I have to turn from him, and I got to turn away from him each and every day. But what I can guarantee you is that when I did that, I was living on my father's couch and had lost everything. My Lord heard from heaven. He forgave my sins, and they were very astute at the time. He healed my land. His eyes were open. His ears were attentive to me. And he listened to the prayers of my heart from that day to this, because I truly sought after him. And I did it through these 12 steps. But we're at the very beginning here. In the first step, we established how hopeless we were. We called it powerless. Here in the second step, we're accepting our condition that we're powerless. We begin, our life is insane around us, whether it's trying to control somebody else, control some part of our life that seems to be out of control, or to control something external to ourselves, like the government or city hall or the people at church or the people at work, accepting that we're the reason why there's a problem in our lives, because we have become insane, and turning to God, asking his forgiveness, and on our knees before his mighty throne, asking him to heal our land.
And if I may put it this way, brother, you mentioned when you were brought low, you found yourself living on your father's couch, but when God raised you up, you find yourself now on your heavenly father's couch. But if it's of an entirely different, more salutary texture, praise God. Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey, we return for one final round of The Great Message. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Before we proceed apace, my lovely little fellowship is always pleased when I simply take a moment and make mention of the fact that if you are looking for a fellowship or are interested in visiting our fellowship, we gather every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. at the corner of 4th Avenue and Harry Street in Conshohocken. And I can assure you that you will both receive the Word of God on the one and be warmly and hospitably received on the other. Also, you may wish to turn to fbccweb.org, again, fbccweb.org, and visit our newly revised and very beautiful website. And on that site, you can access our Sunday messages, these radio broadcasts, amongst other things. That being said, Brother Tyler, we have one last round to address step two, and I'd like to defer to you with what little time remains, if you would pick up where you are led to do so.
So, what we're doing now is we're about turning our attention to a higher power, and what we're going to do now is I encourage you to begin to acquire some level of faith. So I'm going to tell you what faith is, just in case there's someone listening who doesn't happen to know what it is. And I'm quoting out of Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been formed by the word of God, so that what is seen have not been made out of things which appear. And I love that, because you're here at the second step. You have not seen the other end of this. You're right at the beginning. You're beginning, we're showing you a path down which you cannot see the other end. But we're telling you that if you take this path, if you start walking this path with us, if you start taking these steps one step at a time, as we go down through the steps that follow after this second step, where we begin to to turn our will over to God. We begin to clean up the wreckage of our past. We begin to amend our own character and move on to make amends to those people who we have harmed. As we go through those steps, we want you to acquire right up front here in step two, which is a measure of faith. And that is faith of the things that you can't see. If you can't have faith in that, have faith in the fact that there is a God who can take me from a drug addict, alcoholic situation, having lost everything, and have restored me totally, not only sanely, but physically and financially and emotionally. If you can't have faith in anything more than that, then have faith in the God that I have faith in, and the God that Bradley has faith in, and the God that so great a compass of witnesses around us have faith in. Just have faith in that.
You know,
and
I think of what
you need.
Yeah, I think of, praise God, I heartily concur. I think of something Sherlock Holmes once said when addressing a crime scene. When trying to ascertain, if you will, who did it, Holmes made the comment that when all else has failed, whatever is left is the answer. And, you know, we have tried everything under the sun. And it is the testament of Christians who have taken their faith seriously that when all was said and done, nothing else worked, except for the grace and the promise and the power of the gospel of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Nothing else would get the job done.
Exactly. And so, if you have tried, when all else has failed, if you think that there's something else that's going to restore your life to sanity, please go give it a try. Mm-hmm. If you got another formula, we're not trying to take there's many ways to apply the Christian walk, and this is just one of them. And if you have another formula, please go try it. But if that formula doesn't work, there are literally millions and millions of people who were medically and psychologically considered hopeless and were nothing more than to be committed or incarcerated, who are walking around today free through using this process. Now, I'm not talking about just free from incarceration. I'm talking about free as the freedom that Christ promised, of being free indeed.
Well, I love hearing the testimony now, setting any political framework aside. I love to listen to the testimony of Mr. My Pillow, Mike Lindell. If he's talking about his personal existence, he is at the core of that conversation. He is giving glory to God. He was a drug addict. That guy was down and out, probably comparable to your situation back in the 80s. And he now gives glory to God, not only for mere recovery, but for full restoration and transformation. You know, there are people, there are band-aids that we can apply. You know, you don't want to look, I take Tylenol. Thank God for Tylenol. We can apply band-aids or take some kind of pill that will give us immediate relief. I don't want to minimize the blessings of modern science and of medicine. But that being, and nor do I wish to minimize what men and women have learned through the psychological profession. I've profited by a man whose first name is Bob. You know him well because I've talked about him. But that being said, they can help bring about some degree of remedial restoration, and we won't minimize it. But it is the power of the gospel that delivers us wholly and completely, and that brings us into an entirely new life, one that is given new purpose and new hope. It's extraordinary. And again, it is the testimony of every Christian who at the core of one's heart would give glory to God. It's their test. It's my testimony. It's your testimony. It's the testimony of the saints of old. It's the testimony of the apostles and of the prophets.
Amen. Amen. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and have sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
It's a magnificent text. I quote it often sermonically. I reflect upon it often within my personal meditations. And in speaking of Christ, Brother Page, even the author of life worked within the constraints of time. For him, it was 33 years. For us, it is 40 minutes. God bless you, Brother Page.
God bless
all
you,
of you who are attending to this broadcast. Brother Page and I wish you every blessing from God, who loves you dearly. Praise his name and bless you. Thank you.